You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Layla Mutin, your host. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. I like to weigh in on questions, topics of interest on this program. If you'd like to email me questions or topics of interest, that email is questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net. There's a wonderful journal. It's actually news from Holistic Primary Care. It's a very, very nice resource. And we, as practitioners, need to be on the alert for drug-induced magnesium depletions. Now, you've heard me say on this podcast quite often that most people have a magnesium deficiency. Our poor diet, the standard American diet, depletes magnesium, stress levels deplete magnesium, sugar, alcohol, poor lifestyle depletes magnesium. But there are also drug-induced magnesium depletions. Many, and this is according to Holistic Primary Care by the editor, Eric Goldman, many of the most commonly used drugs, including diuretics. You might be on a diuretic if you have issues with edema or blood pressure. You may be on a diuretic. Many of the most commonly used drugs, including diuretics, proton pump inhibitors, like your Prilosec, your Nexium, and antibiotics can cause magnesium wasting. Though it may be asymptomatic, you know, where you may not feel any symptoms being low in magnesium, drug-induced hypomagnesemia, low magnesium, is a contributing factor to many of our chronic diseases. Now, you know, magnesium is very, very important for the heart. It's involved in over 300 biochemical actions in the body. So we need to be on the lookout for drug-induced magnesium depletions. And that's one of the major messages from, and this is from the New England Journal of Medicine. There's a comprehensive new paper there on the clinical impact of magnesium deficiencies. So given how many people are on one or more of these drugs, we're talking about the diuretics, the proton pump inhibitors, certain antibiotics, it is very likely that a large segment of the global population have iatrogenic magnesium deficiency. Iatrogenic, I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C. Iatrogenic means medically induced. Iatrogenic magnesium deficiency means your magnesium deficiency was caused by your medical treatment, like your prescription. So most physicians don't routinely evaluate magnesium status, but they should. And this is according to Dr. Rian Tuzi and colleagues from the Department of Family Medicine at McGill University in Montreal. Clinicians should be more attuned to the importance of magnesium. Now, Dr. Hoffman has been saying this for decades. He knows about the importance of magnesium. Think about it. When he had his in-house lab back in the day, he was checking for ionized magnesium as well as calcium, you know, on the molecular level, where the magnesium is, if there's any, right? A typical blood test will look for RBC magnesium, which is red blood cell magnesium, which really isn't great. It's not that specific. It could be, you know, it's not as reliable as doing an ionized magnesium. So magnesium, according to these researchers in Montreal, is a vital but poorly understood electrolyte in clinical medicine. It is often not measured as part of routine electrolyte screening. You know your electrolytes, potassium, sodium, calcium, and magnesium. Hypomagnesemia is often asymptomatic, but this does not mean that it is inconsequential. Magnesium deficiency is associated with and may play an etiological role in a host of cardiovascular, metabolic, and neurological problems. It's common among hospitalized patients and predictive of prolonged intensive care unit stays. I could think for cardiovascular, definitely, because not enough magnesium has adverse impacts on cardiovascular health. Vascular health with regard to blood pressure, metabolic health, because you got high blood sugar, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, diabetes, you will be low in magnesium, and neurological problems. So deficiency is particularly problematic for the heart. The researchers point out that low magnesium predisposes people to electrical irritability and arrhythmias, including atrial fibrillation and long QT syndrome. You know, we're seeing more and more people diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. It could be because of their very low or deficient magnesium status. It is also tied to endothelial dysfunction. The endothelium, you know, the lining of the arteries, right? There is smooth muscle there. Magnesium helps those muscles to relax. And if there's not enough magnesium, that may result in endothelial dysfunction. It has to do also, magnesium has to do with increased vascular tone as well. So this paper is a thorough synopsis. The one in the New England Journal of Medicine is a thorough synopsis of the state of the science on magnesium deficiency, its causes and mechanisms, its clinical impact, and the best strategies for detecting and remediating the problem. If you want to go to the New England Journal of Medicine, it's this year, 2024. It's Tuzi, R-M, et al. That last name is spelled T-O-U-Y-Z, R-M, et al. Pharmaceuticals are only one potential cause of magnesium deficiency, but they're an important one. So many people are taking an antibiotic here or there, a PI, right? Or diuretic. The authors acknowledge that the precise incidence of drug-induced deficiency is not really known. Not something for which practitioners are routinely screening. And in the published epidemiologic studies of the subject, there's variability in diagnostic criteria and reporting methods. Objective numbers representing general populations, these are hard to come by. Now that said, drug-induced hypomagnesemia has a prevalence of between 7 to 11% in patients admitted to hospitals for any cause. Some estimates are as high as 20% among inpatients, depending on the population studied and the criteria used. So among outpatients, the estimate is that between 2 and 4% of all people are suffering from drug-induced magnesium depletion. This is likely an underestimate. And you know what? If I were a gambler, I'd put my money on the fact that this is an underestimate. But even if we assume, that 4% is correct, it's still 13.7 million Americans potentially at risk. So among long-term proton pump inhibitor users, the prevalence is roughly 20%. That's because PPIs alter the pH of the gut lumen, which adversely impacts intestinal magnesium absorption. This effect is both dose and duration dependent. It's a scary thought, given that nearly 25% of all adults worldwide are taking PPIs, according to a 2023 global study of prescription drug use. Oh my God, 25% of all adults worldwide. So the U.S. and other industrialized nations are clearly overrepresented in this survey, right? But the general global trend is clear. PPIs are consistently among the top most prescribed drug classes. And this is out of the European Journal of Clinical Pharmacology from 2023. Let's talk about magnesium deficiency symptoms. Some of them. Muscle twitches and cramps. You have cramps in your legs? Nighttime, daytime, anytime? That's a magnesium deficiency. Irregular heartbeat is a symptom of magnesium deficiency. Osteoporosis. Everybody's taking calcium. Nobody's low in calcium. Everybody, however, is low in magnesium, aren't they? So osteoporosis symptoms. Numbness and tingling in the extremities, that could be due to magnesium deficiency. Fatigue and weakness. Nausea and vomiting. A loss of appetite. Definitely constipation is a magnesium deficiency. Do you suffer with headache or migraine? You are deficient in magnesium. Brain fog? Memory deficits? Mental disorders, depression? Even phobias are due to an extreme magnesium deficiency. So think about it. Mental disorders, depression, brain fog, memory deficits. So what are some causes? Inadequate dietary intake? Absolutely. Water purification? Yeah. What are other causes of magnesium depletion? There's none in the soil. Soil depletion, our industrialized farming. That's why we've got to go regenerative farming, where we're protecting the soil. Other causes of magnesium deficiency? Long-term use of diuretic therapy. That water pill you're taking. Chronic diarrhea. Talk about losing your electrolytes. You know, you're also losing magnesium there. It's an electrolyte. It's excessive exercising can deplete magnesium. Age, elderly people may be low in magnesium, maybe due to many of the prescriptions they're taking. And certainly, high alcohol consumption, like sugar, it absolutely depletes magnesium. Diuretics are problematic. Some researchers estimate that between 20 to 30% of people taking loop diuretics are magnesium deficient. For those on thiazides, like hydrochlorothiazide, HCTZ, maybe you're taking that for your blood pressure, the estimates range between 25 and 30%. And according to data gathered by biopharma industry analysts, there were roughly 82 million diuretic prescriptions in the year 2022. Aminoglycoside antibiotics like gentamicin can also cause magnesium wasting. Though antibiotic use in general has, thankfully, declined in recent years, they are still among the most widely prescribed pharmaceutical classes. Dr. Tuzi and co-authors note that most cases of drug-induced hypomagnesia are explained by renal, meaning kidney, magnesium wasting. That means any drug that substantially impacts kidney function could lead to magnesium depletion. Cisplatin, EFGR antagonists, right, can also have deleterious effects on magnesium. There's a whole host of drugs that adversely impact the kidneys and can cause magnesium wasting and depletion. So, cisplatin is especially problematic. Anywhere between 40 and 90% of people undergoing cisplatin chemotherapy will develop low magnesium. Other red flag drugs include the antifungal amphotericin B, that's a potent one, and antiviral drugs. And the widespread prevalence of polypharmacy in most industrialized countries, many people could be taking two or more magnesium-wasting drugs at the same time. And that, of course, amplifies the risk. So the standard approach to assessing magnesium status is simply to measure total serum magnesium in a quick and expensive way to gauge any short-term changes. Keep in mind that the vast majority of the body's total magnesium is intracellular. In fact, less than 1% of all magnesium is in circulation. That's why that RBC magnesium is not great. Serum levels do not reliably reflect magnesium stores in the tissues. Further, serum levels can be affected by a range of confounding factors, like nutritional risk, like low albumin, anemia, presence of anticoagulants in the sample tubes when you're doing a blood draw. So, serum measurements, blood tests, that particular blood test where you're just measuring the serum, are really only practical objective tests fit clinical use. Ionized magnesium tests should really be what's going on, but not a lot of practitioners do that. So according to generally accepted guidelines, normal serum magnesium levels in healthy adults range from 1.7 to 2.4 mg per dL. And low magnesium is defined as levels before 1.7 mg per dL. But don't rely on serum levels in isolation, the researchers are saying. Look at these measurements in the context of a patient's overall health, their symptoms, their diet, their lifestyle. You know, even though serum magnesium concentration may be normal, the intracellular source can be depleted. So just because your serum magnesium blood test is coming back in the normal range doesn't mean you're not depleted. So I wonder why they even bother with this test. So, while extreme deficiency will usually make itself known through symptoms like muscle cramps, tremors, seizures, arrhythmias, palpitations, right? Bear in mind that most patients who are mildly low in magnesium will likely not have symptoms at all, but it doesn't mean they're not at risk. And we have to pay close attention to patients who have diabetes. because this is common amongst diabetics. So insulin resistance results in decreased renal magnesium reabsorption and increased magnesium being carried out through the urine. And be aware that alcohol use is a factor. Magnesium depletion is the most common electrolyte abnormally associated with chronic heavy drinking. So there are other co-deficiencies, right? You may find that other electrolytes may be deficient, like low potassium. Long-standing magnesium deficiency impairs repletion of cellular potassium. So, and there's an interplay between all of these electrolytes. And low calcium levels are also linked to low magnesium. So if you're ever seeing a low calcium on a blood test, you might want to replete your magnesium. In fact, you probably should, unless it's caused by something else. So they say that there are no clear, widely accepted treatment guidelines for reversing low magnesium. And they say that approaches largely depend on presence and severity of the symptoms of these clinical manifestations, right? But if you have a mild magnesium deficiency, we give you oral supplements, right? So citrate, magnesium glycinate, these are all good. Diarrhea may be the most common side effect, right? Certainly you get it from food sources as well, but the most important thing is to lower your stress and to get rid of sugar and refined carbohydrates, alcohol, all of that, and take a good magnesium supplement to help replenish your levels. And that's the scope. That is the scope of magnesium. You don't have to have symptoms, or you've got full-blown symptoms. There's like a spectrum of how deficient you could be in magnesium. It's best to take a supplement if you're low, especially. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.